And then mark your place also in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. I was taking a mental excursion around some of the New Testament churches, such places at Corinth and Ephesus and Colossae and Thessalonica and Smyrna and Thyatira and Sardis, Laodicea, Philadelphia, and Philippi. With one exception, they all have or share one thing in common. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." When I look at verse number 2, it is that the apostle lays an imperative on his protege of regarding things that he has heard, implying that in order to have anything to pass along, you must be within earshot. And secondly, I look at verse number 2, that this hearing was done in the presence of many witnesses, so that it could be corroborated, everything that he said, and cross-referenced, and that it would not be ever laid to the charge of the apostle that what he was saying was changing as the audience itself would change. And he also exhorts his protege to take that which that he's heard among those witnesses and commit to faithful men who have the one quality of being able to teach others the same things that he's heard. And the sense of that is, he addresses something that apparently was short-circuited in those churches that I mentioned. And it was basically, this is a prescription for the unbroken transmission of truth, so as to secure an unbroken succession of the truth. The apostle Paul is simply preparing to pass on the torch to Timothy. Now, it is, I think, obvious that the torch, when passed, have a light on it, or it accomplishes no purpose. So think in mind of what you read there in Deuteronomy chapter 6 for a minute as an expanded illustration of what the Apostle Paul is exhorting Timothy to do in the New Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it." Now, Moses the author, he is said, described elsewhere in the Old Testament as being faithful. Moses was faithful, even as Abraham said to be faithful. And here, again, there is to be the teaching, the commandments, so that the people who hear might do them when they finally arrive at their destination, the promised land. Please notice also in verse number 2, "that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee." Now please notice the succession involving the first person, thou. And then secondly, thy son. And thirdly, thy son's son. All the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. For purpose being in verse number 3, that it may be well with thee. It may be well. And that you may increase mightily. Now, one of the things that as I noted those churches at the outset here, there came a time in each of the church, according to historical, extra-biblical record, where the churches mentioned in the New Testament peaked out, leveled off, and then began to decline even in the first century. Even in the first century. One exception. But we hear in verse 3, "Hear therefore, O Israel, observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey." And then you come down to verse number 7. Again, keeping in mind the warrant that the Apostle Paul says, "The same commit the faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And in verse number 7, Moses is instructed, "Thou shall teach them diligently these commands unto thy children." And the process is engaged here. "You'll talk of them when thou sittest in thine house." The commandments are to be preeminent in the privacy of the individual home. "When thou walkest by the way, when you're out and about, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." What is described there in verse 7 is the full cycle of time that is typical to the human being. And it also involves the places where people would normally haunt, the house or out and about, in private and in public. So when you look at verse number 7, and then you come over, if you would please, to Psalm 78, where this is dressed out a little bit further, in Psalm 78, verse 4. The process continues in its definition or description. Psalm 78, verse 4. "We will not hide them from their children, the things that we've heard," according to verse 3, "and our fathers have told us." So at this point, the transmission is still ongoing. "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength, his wonderful works that he hath done. He hath established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." There you have the idea of the unbroken succession, the transmission of truth from generation to generation to generation, and how personal and in a public and as well as a private manner is carried forth. Now, when I think about these verses, and my attention is drawn again to the New Testament, into the book of Ephesians 6 and verse 4, where Christian parents, particularly responsible of the fathers, to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring up the children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And again, Solomon said, "Teach them in the way that he should go, that when he's old, that he should what? Not depart." And so when you think about this, when you come to the ancient churches like Corinth and Ephesus and the Sardis church, the Thessalonican church, and the others, the thing that they all share in common, with the possible exception of the church at Philippi, is that none of them exist today. And they haven't for centuries and centuries and centuries. Matter of fact, as I said, there was a time in extra-biblical history where the record reveals that they peaked out, they flattened out, and they began to decline, deflated. Came a time when the torch as it was passed either was passed without a light on it, or the church, or the torch was not passed at all. Exception being Philippi. Why do I say that? Well, because when you come to Philippi, there is a famous merchant lady that is associated with that church in Acts chapter 16, I believe. And that lady is Lydia. And it is, again, a matter of historical record that the churches in Europe owed their source, their point of origin from Philippi. So that the churches that eventually were established on the continent of Europe and then following came from Europe to America, in that sense we might say that the torch was passed with a light on it. Now, here we are, way downrange, where we saw, historical is the record, where in the late 1700s, the 1800s, and up to about 1940, 1950, the church peaked out, leveled off, and in the 80s, in the 90s, began its descent. It occurred to me, about that torch. It occurred to me of what the Apostle Paul says about committing the truth to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That does not change. That axiom remains the same because it's the scripture. The problem is, who's next in line to get the torch? Who's next in line to get the torch? There are notable exceptions all across the country where, individually, some churches have managed to sustain that upward spiral. They're flourishing. They're balanced. There's a mixture of gray panthers as well as young people and people in between. But when you consider that as God's people prior to the rapture begin marching forward, and as many of our own have done, have stepped foot off of earth into the presence of the Lord, and barring the appearance of the Lord tomorrow or the next day or this year, many others of us likely are going to be taking that step upward. Who then is in line to receive the torch? Consider the youngest among us. And from him where? From him where? It appears that for many generations, the example out of Deuteronomy, the exhortations from the apostles, was actually being carried forth. But now, in spite of every good intention and all honest motive, the question begs asking in the light of the youthful phenomenon of many having reached a vanishing point and no longer demonstrating an interest in or a love for God's word or his people. Who gets the torch next? And make it more personal at Grace Baptist, who gets the torch here? Who gets the torch here? Think about that, because it does present for us a critical imperative of faithful transmission. So when I look at these churches, And I consider the hundreds of others since the inception and the vibrant wave of Christianity as it swept across America in the early days to the present day, now finally having eroded, it gives cause, or should give pause for, concern about what's next, who's next, where do we go from here next. And one thing doesn't change, and that is the imperative to commit to faithful men with an ability to teach others also. That should be or occupy a large seat in your prayer concerns, even tonight and going forward. Just thought I'd share that with you. It's a burden of my heart, and I also am reminded that the scriptures teach us that he that is faithful in that which is least, giving attention to the details, every detail important, is also faithful in much. So give some attention tonight as you pray to this consideration out of God's word. Would you join me? Dear Lord, gather our thoughts, say it, help us to assemble on your path, help us to go forward with you, and help us to be willing as you lead us, and bring us, Lord, to a place where we will see with all clarity what your plan is for us. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might first and foremost desire that you be exalted and given the preeminence in everything. Help us to continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.